we're talking about spirituality, and yesterday we spoke about the general guideline of how to reach spirituality. What is the path that we need to walk upon? And we said that this path is nothing but the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to repeat on a daily basis in our prayers. At least 10 times a day, we are supposed to ask Him. And that Sirat al-Mustaqim is obedience to Allah. We read the hadith yesterday that if we want to be Shia, the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, we must be obedient to Allah. If we want to follow the role model of Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamu alayh, there's only one way, and that is at-ta'ah, obedience to Allah. Now it's interesting, if you remember the way we explained, could we have a salawat please?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The way we explained how Sirat al-Mustaqim is obedience to Allah was that Sirat al-Mustaqim in hadith has been defined as Amir al-Mu'mineen. And if we want to walk upon the path, we want to be the Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen, we need to be obedient to Allah based on the hadith that we read. It's interesting that when you look at the verses of the Holy Quran, this is the interpretation of, remember one of the questions was about the hadith of the Prophet that إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمْ الثَّقَلَيْنِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَعِتْرَتِي. How the عِتْرَة in the Quran are always supplementing one another. They always come together. They always say the same thing. Siratul, or Ali ibn Abi Talib is Siratul Mustaqim. The Shia of Ali is obedient to Allah. When you look at the verses of the Holy Quran, it says a number of times. One of them is in Surah Yasin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنِ عَبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Then you worship me. Ibadah means what? It means to be obedient. It comes from the word abd, servant. If you want to be on the right path, صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ is obedience. Now, this obedience, we wanted to open it up a bit and talk about some of the details of this path, not just leave it at that general level. We said that when we look at Islam, subhanAllah, this religion is such a comprehensive religion that the practical laws are precisely met with the needs and necessities of mankind. Where there needs to be a law that mandates something, it's there. But when it's not necessary, it's actually important to leave the mukallaf, the individual, free and not say that you have to do something or you don't have to do something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left that free. We want to talk about this a little bit. Islam takes care of the personal needs that we have. It has instructions. Whether you're in society, you have anyone around you or you don't, there are instructions. In your family, the way you treat your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your wife, or your husband, there's instructions. When it comes to the society, how to govern it, there's instructions. It's important, the aspects of it, brothers and sisters, that at least apply to us, that we learn them. We want to start with the personal affairs and some of the instructions that we can highlight as some of the more important ones. There's many. We're not going to obviously be able to go through all of them in these sessions, but some of them would like to highlight and talk a little bit about them. One of the most important personal instructions that we have that deals with us, and we need to do it regardless of anybody else, is the concept of prayer. As-salah. Connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This instruction is so important that when you look at the verses of the Holy Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to define who the muttaqeen are, when He wants to define that, He always puts that salat. They are the ones that perform the salat, they uphold the prayer. The good servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's the definition? What's the description? The description is, one of them at least, which is repeated a number of times in the Holy Quran, is the concept of prayer. Now, I want to use a couple of ahadith about the importance of this. Recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajam.
One hadith that could be found in the book, the noble book Al-Kafi, and we don't get to speak about the collections of hadith that we have, which are jewels. Each of them contain many, many jewels. One of the most important collections of hadith that we have is the book called Al-Kafi. It's a very, very noble book. In this book, Sheikh Kulaini has a section, the second volume of it, based on the older print, a chapter called Da'aimul Islam. In that, we find a number of hadith. The gist of them is the same. One of them, I will read the wording, it is from an individual by the name of Zurarah ibn Ayan. He's a close companion of the 5th and 6th Imam. He was young at the time of the 5th Imam, but he also was a companion of the 6th Imam. This one he narrates from the 5th Imam, Zurarah an Abi Ja'far alayhi salatu wassalam. Qal, the Imam has said, Bunya al-Islamu ala khams. Islam has been laid down on a foundation that consists of 5 pillars. Any foundation, any building, okay, any structure that you have has got to have pillars that keep it straight and keep it standing. Without those pillars, it's not going to stand. Okay, so that means that's the most important part of the structure. Every structure, you got different components of it. It's not only the pillars. Obviously, you have all these other components that make the structure. But the whole structure is standing because of the pillars. If you take out those, the rest of it is not going to be standing. That's how important these are. So the Imam says, like the other structures, Islam also has pillars. What are they? These are not pillars of aqaid. Okay. Those are also pillars, yes. The pillars of belief, those are the most important part of the religion for us. We need to have that in ourselves, we need to believe in that. Without that foundation, the practices are nothing. If somebody does not believe in God, does not believe in what they're supposed to believe in, they can give all the charity they want in the world. That's not going to count. Okay? Those pillars are very important, but this is pillars in practice, the practical pillars of Islam. It says, Bunya al-Islamu ala khamsati ashya, ala salati wa zakati, والحج والصوم والولاية. It is based on salat, prayer, and zakat, the charity that is wajib. والحج, the very important ritual that one has got to perform once at least throughout their lives. والصوم, the fast that we are performing right now in the holy month of Ramadan. والولاية. Now, for those who weren't here during the question and answer, I was going to expand on this, but one of the brothers asked the question and I had to mention this hadith. As I said, this hadith is talking about the pillars in practice, not in belief. The concept of imamat is a concept of belief. That's a pillar, it's part of the pillars of faith, not of practice. Whether the imam is ruling or he is not, he is the imam. Even when the Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi was not ruling, he was still the Imam. It didn't make a difference. But he did not have the power of government at that time. This hadith is talking about pillars of practice. One of these, the last one that I just mentioned, is al-walayah, government. government. Not imamat, it is government. Let's not misunderstand the concept of wilayah. To our Sunni brothers and sisters, when we want to argue, when we get to the hadith of Ghadir, we interpret the hadith of Ghadir, when they say it's about friendship, we say, no, it's not about friendship. I'd say it's beyond that. It's about him being the Mawla, meaning he is the master. That is talking about government. Amir al-Mu'mineen had the responsibility to rule over the Muslims after the Holy Prophet. That is called wilayah. But when it comes to ourselves, we take the word wilayah, with having the wilayah of the Ahlul Bayt, as being the love of the Ahlul Bayt, exactly the opposite, the contrary of what we say in those discussions. The word wilayah actually means government, brothers and sisters. So that's important to keep in mind for those who have are looking for proofs about Islamic government, whether during the time of the Imams or during the time of the occultation. This is one of the proofs that we have. Now, interestingly, Zurara says, فَقُلْتُ وَأَيُّ شَيْءٍ مِّن ذَلِكَ أَفْضَلِ. Out of these five that you mentioned, which one is the best? If you're guessing Salat, you're wrong. Although that is the topic of my discussion, but that's not what the Imam says is first. فَقَالَ The Imam says, أَلْوَلَايَةُ أَفْضَلِ. Government is the most important one. لَأَنَّهَا مِفْتَاخُهُنَّ. Because that is the key to the rest. This is talking about, to explain that, this is not talking about the pillars of Islam for an individual himself. Okay? This is talking about Islam as a whole, as a religion, for it to continue existence, there's these five pillars. Okay? So, in society, in other words, because this is the key, government is the key to that. وَالْوَالِي وَالْدَلِيلُ عَلَيْهِمْ. The wali, the ruler, is the guide to the rest. If you have a just ruler, a Muslim ruler that is just, that knows what Islam is, he will implement Islam as best he can, obviously. For those who have this, you know, obviously our topic is not the concept of wilayat al-faqih, but it just came to my mind. For those who think that when you, especially if, for those who've gone to Iran and they've seen the situation there, and it doesn't seem to be all Islamic after all. Hijabs are like that, and makeup and clothes are a lot of different things that you've seen. Just a side note, this is a side note that we're talking about, but what do you think that government of Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah alayhi was looking like in the 5 years that he was ruling? Do you think everything was perfect there? Read your history, brothers and sisters. Read your history. Read who were the commanders, who were the rulers, who were the governors under Amir al-Mu'mineen, how the people lived during that time. It wasn't the way you think. You have this unreal utopia in our minds, everything is perfect at that time. No, it wasn't like that. So anyway, the ruler is going to be implementing as best he can the message of Islam. So he says, الْوَالِي وَالْدَلِيلُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And Zurara says, ثُمَّ وَقُلْتُ ثُمَّ الَّذِي يَلِي ذَلِكَ فِي الْفَضْ. What's the next one in importance? فَقَالَ الصَّلَاةِ. This is what we're reading this hadith for. After government, which is the most important, the first one, it's not hajj that's the most important, it's not fasting that's the most important, it's not zakat, no, it's salat that is the most important. Then the holy, or the imam, alayhi salatu wa salam, quotes the holy prophet. He says, inna rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi qal as-salatu amududdin. The religion personally, now, the other one was in society, this is personally, for you, to hold up the religion, to be religious, to continue being religious, what holds that tent up is the pillar of salat. According to another hadith, it says that if you imagine a tent, you know, you have ropes, and you have nails that are holding down those ropes, you have a lot of other components that keep up the tent, and then you have the pillar that's standing in the middle that holds it up. Back in the old days, of course, nowadays the pillars I think are different. Doesn't go up the middle. Anyway, so the hadith says, if you have that pillar, it's pretty logical too, it's just like a tent. If you have that pillar, everything else makes sense. You can have the ropes and everything holding that tent up. You take that down, you can have all the ropes in the world that you want, but you're not going to have a tent standing. our religion, our personal religion, to continue being religious, we have to have that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't have that, everything else is gone. Another hadith, recite a salawat, please. Remember, our topic was about spirituality. So we're going to be talking at the basic level a little bit, and then talking about the higher levels a little bit, best we can, inshaAllah. This hadith from Imam al-Baqir, salamullah alayhi, قال Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, إِذَا قَامَ الْعَبْدُ الْمُؤْمِنُ فِي صَلَاتِهِ نَظَرَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. If an abd, a servant that is believing when he stands in his prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at him. أَوْقَالْ أَقْبَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. What does it mean? There's two narrations. The companion that's narrating this is saying the Imam either said نَظَرَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ, looks at him, or he turns towards him. What does that mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at us? That means he turns his mercy towards us. Otherwise, we are in his presence. We are his creation. It's not like he looks at us or he turns away. He doesn't have our eyes. He doesn't have our limitations that I can't see behind me. I have to look behind me to see it. No. When he looks at you or he turns to you, that means his blessings are moving more towards you. And that's what the next phrase of the hadith is. It says, حَتَّى يَنْصَرِفْ, until he turns the person, the abd, suddenly the person is praying, until he turns away from the prayer, he's going to be faced with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be looking at him. وَأَظَلَّتْهُ الرَّحْمَةُ مِنْ فَوْقِ رَأْسِهِ إِلَىٰ أُفُقِ السَّمَاءِ. When he is praying, the mercy of Allah is going to be coming from above his head, or is going to be there from above his head until the horizons of the heavens. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ تَحُفُّهُ مِنْ حَوْلِهِ. The angels are going to be circling around him. إِلَىٰ أُفُقِ السَّمَاءِ, from where he's standing all the way until the heavens, the angels are going to be around him. وَوَكَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مَلَكًا قَائِمًا عَلَىٰ رَأْسِهِ. There's one angel that is standing above your head. يَقُولُ لَهُ, he tells this musalli, أَيُّهَا الْمُسَلِّي, لَوْ تَعْلَمُ مَنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْكَ وَمَنْ تُنَاجِي مَلْتَفَتْ. O person who's praying, if you knew who is watching, if you knew who is watching you and who you are speaking to, you would have never turned away from your prayer. You would never want to finish it. Have you ever, just imagine, you have a very close friend that you enjoy the company of that person, you like to speak to that person. Would you like to leave their company? I mean, this is how we are when we're with our friends. We don't want to leave. We could sit there for hours. We don't even know how time passes. The angel is telling us this. If you know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, if you realize that, you wouldn't want to turn around and leave that position. It's because we don't have that. We don't realize that. Which inshaAllah we'll get to a little bit. وَلَا زِلْتَ مِنْ مَوْضَعِكَ أَبَدًا. You wouldn't have left your position at all. Another hadith, the last one for the importance of prayer that I would like to mention, which is above that level. Remember, we're talking about spirituality. This was about the importance of it. If you don't want to go to hell, your religion is kept by prayer. But now an interesting one for those who are looking for higher levels. Imam al-Ridha, salamullah alayhi, has been quoted to have said the following. As-salatu qurban kulli taqi. Remember we said spirituality is getting close to Allah. At-taqarrub ila Allah. If you want to do that, what are the steps? very brief hadith. It's very nice, the wording of it. As-salatu qurbanu kulli taqi. It is the closeness. You get close with this salat, with this prayer. Don't look for weird directions and instructions that are given. It's salat if you want spirituality. Now this salat that is so important, let's talk about some of the aspects of it. The salat has a zahir, an apparent form and structure, and it has a batin, a soul, a spirit. The zahir of the prayer, the zahir of the salat, the apparent or the structure and the form is important, brothers and sisters. Some who speak about spirituality, I've heard them say, oh, it doesn't make a difference. If you miss something, it's okay. The important thing is make a connection with Allah. Make a connection with Allah. It doesn't make a difference. He doesn't want you to do it in a particular way. Well, if He didn't want to, then why did He say it? That's a good question to ask, isn't it? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us you pray in this way? One of the interesting issues that the Holy Quran talks about a number of times in Surah Baqarah is the concept of the Qibla, the direction you face in prayer. If it's not important, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spend so many verses talking about that? That Qibla is important. That direction, it's the form, it's the structure, it's important. So this structure, that's one aspect. The other aspect is the soul and the spirit of it. That structure, some aspects of it to talk about. Firstly, brothers and sisters, it's important that we go and learn that. If we think you can delve deep into the topics of spirituality or theology, aqad, you want to talk about tawheed, about Islamic government, wulat al-faqih comes up, all these different subjects, but you don't want to spend some time reading how to perform prayer correctly, we're missing out. That prayer that was mentioned as the pillar of the religion, that it's so important, you gotta learn how to do it. We gotta spend some time learning how to do that, how to perform it. That's important. So that's the first point. These aspects of the dhahir, they include the wudu and the ghusl. A lot of us don't know how to do that right. When the questions come up, people start thinking, hey, yeah, I had that question too. Well, you shouldn't be waiting for others to mention these questions to remember. Without wudu or ghusl, without proper wudu or ghusl, the prayer is not going to count, brothers and sisters. This is the apparent. The structure has to be right first, and then you can start looking at the spirit and the soul and see if it has that effect or not. One of the aspects of the form and the structure that I need to speak about a little bit, very briefly, if I could have a salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Is the speed, how fast we pray. When we're in jama'at, well obviously the Imam al-Jama'at is going to pray a nice pace. You know, it's not too fast, it's not too slow. But how do we pray when we're on our own? Allahu Akbar, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Jump to ruku, jump to sujood. Very briefly, I'd like to say, brothers and sisters, first of all, I'll give you the ruling. We are not allowed to say any of the words of prayer when we are moving, except for bihawlillahi wa quwwatihi aqumu wa aq'ud. If I'm saying subhanallah while I'm going to ruku and I haven't reached ruku yet, that's invalid. It's not going to count. You didn't get the form right. If I do that for sujood, same thing, it's not going to count. You got to wait, you got to finish that, and then start getting up. For Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, it's the same way, all of the adhkar of the prayer. And don't do it too quick. There's a hadith that's interesting. The Prophet was sitting with the companions in the masjid, an individual came in to the masjid and he started praying. Very quickly, Allahu Akbar, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ruku, sujood. Very quickly was, the Prophet said, that's not prayer. That's like a crow that's pecking on the ground. That's not prayer. He said, if he leaves this world and that's the way he prays, he's not of my nation. That's not the way you pray. You gotta pray properly. That's one aspect. Yes. I think I have another 5 minutes, so I'm going to take that. The next aspect of the form that I would like to talk about is the timing. I'll read you a hadith. You said a salawat, please. The timing of the prayer is also something that's been mentioned and emphasized on the Holy Quran as well. There's a verse of the Holy Quran that says, حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة المستقبل. Okay, we have إقامة الصلاة, uphold the prayer. This verse is different. حافظوا على الصلوات. The interpretation that we get in the hadith is that is talking about the timing. Make sure you're praying on time. It has to be important for us when we pray, brothers and sisters. A hadith from the Holy Prophet, لا يزال الشيطان ذعرا من المؤمن ما حافظ على الصلوات الخمس فإذا ذيعهن تجرأ عليه فأدخله في العظائم. Shaytan is hopeless of a mu'min that is careful of the times of the prayers and he makes sure he prays them on time. Why is it not important for some of us? If it becomes qada, it's okay. Why is it okay, or how is it okay? I don't know if you've seen the video clips of Imam Khomeini in the last days of his life. This is just an example of one of the pious people of our time. He's in bed and he's dying. He's hooked up to all kinds of medication. When they call him for just a little hint, the time for prayer, he wakes up. That's how important it is. We need to be like that. One aspect of that time is praying on time itself, not allowing it to become qada. That's one aspect. The other aspect that we have a hadith, which I don't have time to expand on, is the importance of praying at the beginning of time. Not being careless, this is a step above that. The first step we need to make sure we do is that pray within that time. You have between Dhuhr and Maghrib time to pray your Dhuhr and Asr. That's enough time to be able to do it. Okay. If we're not careful of keeping that time, then that's very wrong. We've got to make sure we do that. The next step is try to do that at the beginning of time. 10-15 minutes is okay, but not to be caring, oh, I'll do it 2 hours later. No, if you want that spirituality, there's a quotation from Allama Qadi Tabatabai, who we all know is known as the one of the pillars of the spirituality in these age or this age. He passed away about 20-30 years ago. He has said, this is his quotation, that if you pray at the beginning of time, you make sure you do that all the time, and you don't reach the higher levels of spirituality, person. That's how confident he is. That's going to get you somewhere. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this Maghrib time of month of Ramadan, all fasting. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the musalleen. Please, let's hear a louder one. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the prayers. Those who uphold the prayers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be the companions of our imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of and give good health to all our maraja and especially our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of us of our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our parents of their sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of those who spend their lives in the cause of Islam, especially Sayyid Abdul Aziz al-Hakim, of their sins. بالنبي وآله رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلاة.